June brings many celebrations, weddings, graduations, holidays from school. It also marks the beginning of a time for which most people don't really want to prepare, hurricane season. Stores are already stocking up on necessary staples everyone needs to ride out a storm. Assigning the probability that we'll experience a hurricane this year is the job of the Central Pacific Hurricane Center. John Bravender is the Acting Warning Coordination Meteorologist, and he's here with us today. Hi there.
Good morning.
This is your first time out as the acting coordinator, but we don't really know whether this is going to be one that was going to test your skills or not at this point. With the forecast of an average to above average year, that means what, about 5 to 8 storms forecast?
Mm-hmm. An average hurricane season is 4 to 5 for the Central Pacific. This year, our outlook calls for 5 to 8 with equal 40% chances of a near normal or above normal season.
That doesn't necessarily mean for people to think, well, we're kind of in the clear with that, because we've had some really good examples in just the last 3 years, thinking about what we experienced from 2014 and then into 2015 and last year.
2015 was a record-setting season. We had 15 tropical cyclones during the season, 16 in the calendar year. We had Polly in January, carried over the year. We had so many that year, and yet none of them were direct impacts to the islands. 2016, we had a fraction of the number. We had 6, but half of them were threats to the island. Darby made landfall, and then Madeline and Lester made a pretty close call.
And these are just a few years after we experienced Anna and Iselle, and we saw what happened when that made landfall on the Big Island in the Puna area.
Mm-hmm. In 2014, Iselle being the first landfall since Iniki, and then a couple months later, Hurricane Anna passing south of us, again, you know, being a big threat and some impacts to the islands.
Which seems to say that there's really no point of safety, and you can be as optimistic as you want given the numbers, but it still boils down to being prepared and understanding that you need to be able to safeguard yourself and your family and your pets. For now, the advice is for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. The outlooks that we do are just for the whole basin, Central Pacific area, not really what would potentially affect Hawaii. So because of that, we encourage people, whether it's expected to be a quiet year or an active year, prepare as if this is going to happen. The phrase we like to fall back to is, it's not if, but when.
We've heard that for such a long time, John, and yet there are a lot of people who say, you know, I'll play the odds and I'm not going to do it until we have to. And then we've had situations where for one reason or another, maybe there's a power outage and you have people walking around their local grocery with a flashlight trying to get enough stuff to be able to ride out a storm. Is there anything that you think that we don't talk enough about to be able to activate people to do what a lot of preparedness folks would like us to?
That's a very good question. And if we knew how to get everybody to prepare ahead of time, that would make our job so much easier. We don't like seeing people standing in line at the last minute, stocking up. And we definitely don't like to see people buying supplies and then returning them after a storm. Hurricane season runs from June 1st to November 30th. Even outside of hurricane season, we have had cyclones develop. And beyond hurricanes, we have other threats that could cause problems. Even a cold front bringing 40, 50 mile an hour winds could knock down a lot of trees and cause, you know, power outage for an extended period of time.
I hear you saying that you should always have supplies on hand or at least within reach and not fall back to what so many people do, run to the store, get the toilet paper, get the rice, get the water, all of that. But when we do have a storm and we look at the time frame that all of us may know that it's coming, how has that advanced in recent years to be able to give us a little more warning?
The hurricane forecasts have gotten better, especially since the time of Iniki, but there is still a lot of uncertainty. We do a 5-day forecast, but if you look at those forecasts, you'll see a large cone, a cone of uncertainty, that indicates there's a pretty large spread as to possible tracks. And even the cone only captures 2/3 of past errors. So it's potential for tracks to be outside of that. So if there's something that could be a threat, people should pay attention and follow, you know, day-to-day forecasts.
The cone of uncertainty sounds like something from a good comedy sketch. But that said, the reality is that there's just so much that we don't know, even with the technology that we now possess.
That's correct. We've had a lot of advances, both in computer modeling and also in observing a new generation of geostationary satellite. We had a new one launched that's being checked out right now. That'll help immensely with determining what's going on right now. Computer modeling has improved, but is still there's still problems, and there's still areas where there's errors are going to creep into the forecast, some with the track and also with the intensity. That's a particular problem.
It seems that with so much that has to do with weather, there is so much uncertainty. But you mentioned that there's better modeling. What do you think will be even slightly better than what we have now that people should know about?
We're constantly, the National Centers for Environmental Prediction is continuously working to improve the computer models that they have for us. They develop in parallel. They have the operation run, and they try out new things in a parallel run and evaluate new algorithms. You can't model every small-scale feature, so you have ways to estimate their impacts and different routines for that.
So what gets modeled?
For example, cloud fields. The clouds, the cumulus clouds that we have, are too small to model explicitly. So there's, we call it parameterized. We have a way of estimating the impact, clouds releasing energy, condensing water, reflecting sunlight. All those impacts feed back into the model. And that's what we're continuously trying to improve.
Is there any way that we have access to see any of this in real time as you see it? Because so many people will depend upon, you know, media to be able to feed them information. In some cases, it might be better if they could simply access it themselves.
Yep. Actually, the National Weather Service, being a federal government entity, is all taxpayer funded. Everything we produce, from the forecast to the model data and the observational data that go into it, are all freely available. All the global models that we have are available on the web or as GRIP files that people can download. It's all out there.
Is this through the center itself or through NOAA?
Through our headquarters. Through, you know, we're within the larger organization.
All right. Well, we'll have some of that up on our website too. But at least, you know, if we get ourselves well and prepared, regardless of what happens, and again, as this is your first rodeo, we hope it'll be a good one for you. And that means easy and not necessarily with a great many storms in it that will threaten us.
I know all the forecasters at our office are also looking forward towards a quiet season after the past few years.
We wish you that. Thanks very much for coming in, John.
Thank you.
John Ravender is the Acting Warning Coordination Meteorologist for the Central Pacific Hurricane Center. If you'd like to know more about this year's hurricane season, check out our Facebook page, The Conversation.